Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, American Savages, to The Savage Truth. Happy to be back with you once again. You know what? It's been great. It's been great having you all tuning in week after week, leaving comments. For those of you who are new to the show, welcome to the channel. For you ride or dies, those of you who have been tuning in week after week, showing us that loyalty, I just want to say thank you. Truly, truly grateful for you taking the time out of your life to care enough to tune in and listen. Truly, it's very, very flattering, and I'm truly humbled and grateful. You know, I'm not a celebrity. I'm not a big name person. I'm not a local celebrity. I'm just like you. I'm an American who loves this country and wants to be grateful for this exceptional place, this United States of America. And I want to be able to enjoy it. And I want to share it with people who feel exactly the way I do. That's all. That's it. It's just that simple. And I must say, on the other hand, I want those who don't wish to be here or wishes ill towards America, I just want them to leave. I just want you to go. I want you to leave. Just go. But for all of you who are flag wavers, right? You wave the flag and love our anthem, our history, our red, white, and blue. It's you. It's you that I care for and am grateful to share a country with. So my ask is always the same, and you know what that is. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And that in itself, if you do that, if you acquiesce to my request, it will just simply help to grow the show and keep us together and us to grow together. So let's get into it because there's a lot to talk about. Well, the corrupt media that threw Joe Biden out stole the election from the 14 million primary voters that now has installed the punitive Kamala Harris, the more than likely Democratic nominee, is now telling the world that she is the greatest, right? She's referring back to her history and she's saying she was the greatest prosecutor in history, certainly in the history of California, and that she is ready to debate Donald Trump and that Donald Trump is backing out of it. Now, that is not truthful at all, okay? That's a savage lie. We're hearing and seeing Kamala say, and the left media, Democrat figures alike, she's saying it, the Democrat media and Democrat leaders alike, they're all saying that she was never the border czar. They're trying to backwalk it now. They're trying to memory hole that whole label that she was never in charge of the border or assigned to the task of keeping our border safe. Even though there's footage, there's actual footage of Joe Biden sitting at a table in 2021, spring of 2021, they're all masked up and he's giving her that title. He's giving her that job, right? Her boss gave her a job to do at the table of Joe Biden assigning the task to her. And the left calling her, naming her, and pinning her with the tag. We did not give her the name of border czar. That came from the Democratic side. We just went along with it. But she did anything but keep our country safe. And of course, the reason why she and they are attempting to walk back the border czar issues is because the border remains the number one issue for Americans today. It's the number one issue on both sides of the voting aisle, and she will not only have to accept the record and the outcome of Joe Biden's colossal failure at the border, but she'll also have to answer for her own handling of the border, which was absolutely nothing. Nothing. She did nothing. And don't you dare mention her sex and her race. Only she can mention her sex and her race. Otherwise, you're a racist and a chauvinist, and you are all holding back, and you don't want to see a black woman get ahead in this country, let alone become the first female president. Please, please remember and make note, Kamala Harris never received a single vote from anybody for the president of the United States. They handed it to her because they didn't want the competition, and they're also locked in to choose her by way of their own policies, DEI, right? This is DEI. It's about melanin, not merit, not merit. DEI is all about melanin, not merit. She's ready to debate. Are you kidding me? DEI, everyone, didn't earn it. Okay, I'm going to have a t-shirt made. DEI didn't earn it. Now, she is not ready to debate. She's a coward. She's not qualified. She's not up for the task. And quite frankly, she's not fitting to be president of the United States. Never, ever, ever send a woman to do a man's job. I'm going to keep saying it. Is that controversial? So be it. As long as there is a Putin and a Xi and Iranian leaders who support Hamas and jihadists and the like, I want a man. I want a strong, bold, intimidating, and unshakable man to be my president, period. And that's my savage truth for today. Anyhow, they've handed her the Democratic nomination, and no man can challenge her on the Democratic side because she'll play the sex card and say that men can't talk to women in such a way if they actually try to challenge her. They certainly can't be a white male, right? Because she'll claim racism. Now, the Obamas have come out finally, okay? The Obamas have finally come out and actually, I would say, reluctantly endorsed her, right? That was a late endorsement. Notice, as I pointed out in my last episode, that Obama didn't endorse her at the point. When she initially accepted the nomination, Obama did not come out and initially endorse her. He came out late, okay? He's the last one to really come on and turn around this bend and actually endorse her. Make no mistake, per the Democratic Party, Kamala is not to be challenged, not to be questioned. She's not to be pressured, not to have a debate. She is to be coronated. That's their goal. They're going to shoot her straight to the top. They're going to bypass all the protocol and the procedures and the policies. They're shooting her straight to the top because they want her, because they recognize that Joe Biden is, as we said, in cognitive failure. He's physically incapable and mentally incapable of being president of the United States or to make this run. They're going to give her the crown and the treasure chest because the focus is the actual person who actually cares for democracy, truly cares for America and its future, truly cares for American people, and take a bullet for democracy, even though they're trying to now suggest that it was shrapnel. I don't know if you heard this. This is a new one now. This is the new one, that Donald Trump actually wasn't hit with a bullet. Okay, he wasn't millimeters away from taking a bullet and having his head explode on live national TV in front of Americans, including his young grandchildren. It was shrapnel. Give me a break. When Kamala says, I want a debate with Donald Trump, keep in mind, folks, I need you to know and understand this. Those words are empty. She doesn't mean a word of it. It's literally just words. Believe me, Kamala doesn't want to stand on a stage at a podium and answer for her handling or non-handling of the border. Kamala doesn't want to answer for the masks. She doesn't want to answer for the economy. Her previous record as DEA attorney general doesn't want to answer for crime across this country, the detrimental decrease in police officers and law enforcement because of her defund the police policies and efforts. While police officers were being attacked and persecuted for actually doing their jobs and putting away bad guys, Kamala was allowing criminals to run the streets through her soft policies on criminality, as backed by her and Joe Biden and the Democratic Party and DAs and Dem prosecutors and many blue cities and states, leaving the very communities whom they say they care so much about, the ones that are most vulnerable, leaving them victimized. She would be another embarrassment for the party in the debate. And this is why she's avoiding. Now, that's all a front to say, I want to debate Donald Trump. She knows it's not going to happen. Now, she won't fall asleep and she won't need a microphone in her ear, right? She will actually be able to stay awake for the entire debate, should there be one, right? She will know where she is at all times. But that would be the extent of it. And personally, I'm sick and tired. I am so sick and tired, especially in the last 3.5 years of seeing black mediocrity. OK, okay? I am sick to death of it being pushed and flaunted as Black excellence. We have Claudine Gay, we have Fannie and Wade, we had Letitia James and Alvin Bragg, and anybody black on MSNBC and CNN. I mean, I just can't. It's time for a change. This is a woman who has done nothing in the last 3.5 years to progress life for Americans. Now, I fully understand that the VP position is not one of a whole lot to do, right? Okay, you kind of talk about that. People don't really exactly know, other than being a tiebreaker in Congress, exactly what the VP does. That being said, when the president gives you a job, no matter who it is, you do it. When your boss gives you a job, you show up and you do it. You perform. Borders are, by the way, was the term that the Dems gave her, but like I said, we simply followed their lead and went with it. Now they're trying to memory hole the whole thing as something that we've made up. Her awkward laugh, her terrible speeches, and her word salads. The only issue she seems to really care about, besides race, is abortion. That's the only two things she has to stand on. Race and abortion. Now, as a result of this administration, I don't need to remind you, but I'm going to. We've had more abortions today than we've had since the Dobbs decision, okay? The Dobbs decision, of course, allowing the states to make the decisions for abortions, and the blue states have gone gusto with it. Gusto. Kamala Harris, the great prosecutor, and what does she say? She's going to contrast herself against the convicted felon, as referred to Donald Trump. Although we don't have a list of cases that Kamala personally prosecuted as San Francisco DA and California Attorney General. I want to see the cases at the trial level, at the appellate level. Let me see the cases, name them, give me some references so that I can pull this up. I like to do my research. When I talk to you all and I say Savage Truth, I like to bring the facts, okay? Listen, folks. Kamala Harris is not a threat to Donald Trump by any means. Are you seeing the crowds that this man is pulling in? He was just in my state this past Saturday. There were 9,000 people in the arena, the hockey arena. There were an additional 26,000 on the outside. People were literally spending the night overnight to get in to be able to see him. Okay. She is by no means, Kamala Harris is by no means on any day, on any second, any hour, at any time, ever going to overshadow or be able to stand against a Donald Trump or be a threat to him. And naturally, the Dem Party is going to feel nostalgic, right? They're all happy and they're giddy. They're feeling good, right? This is their honeymoon phase, right? We expect her to run around and be a little full of herself, head blown up a bit. That's to be expected. It's exciting, okay? We saw the same exact enthusiasm when J.D. Vance was named VP on the Republican side. Totally get that. They have a new sense of enthusiasm because of her presumptive nomination, because they knew that Joe was not going to be present or any real competition or challenge for Trump come November. But once the honeymoon stage is over, she will have to convince the American people that she has the chops to run this country. Now, I've been looking at polls, and I'm kind of kicking myself now that I'm in the moment, but I just need you to understand this, because the polls are coming out and the Democrats are starting this whole new lie campaign. Let me make it very clear to you that Kamala Harris does not have a lead over Donald Trump in the swing states in the demographics of Blacks, Hispanics, and young people. Okay. J.D. Vance is really, really doing well there, but that Trump ticket, that Trump appeal is very real. He still has a significant lead in all of the swing states. Do not be fooled. But as I said, she will have to prove to the American people that she has the chops to run this country, to be able to defend us from our enemies, not embolden them, and get America back on track. Now, considering that she is the most Marxist, the most socialist, the most communist candidate we've ever seen, I don't see that happening. What's clear to me and to you all, I'm sure, is that the Dems have shown themselves to be party disloyal. There is so much chaos and infighting within the Democratic Party. They are divided among issue lines. They are divided among DEI lines. They're divided along this whole anti-Semitic Palestinian line, which, by the way, let me give a shout out to my Jewish friends. Matter of fact, it was my Jewish family, okay? Because the chaos that we saw in D.C. with Hamas and jihadists taking over, vandalizing, breaking and entering, right? Disrespecting the American flag right on the watch and under the nose of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And nothing was done. This was not about free speech. You can burn your own flag in your home, but you cannot burn the flag that is on federal property. And that was federal property. And for that, they should have been arrested. But as always, what we expect is what we got from the Biden Kamala Harris administration, a nothing burger. Now, they profess to be the party of the small d democracy, yet they did exactly the opposite. They disenfranchised 14 million voters. They decided that he wasn't suited anymore, and they replaced him with Kamala Harris, bypassing the actual political process. There may be legal challenges there within the 25th Amendment, but I'm not holding my breath. I talked about that in the last episode, and I'm sure neither of you either are either. If you do, you would turn as blue as Minneapolis, and believe me, that's an ugly shade of blue, unlike the pretty color that I'm wearing today. Believe me, take it from me. You don't want to be that shade of blue. They turned on Joe with the quickness, and now it's Joe. Get out of the way and hail Kamala. And as long as Kamala brings Barack and Michelle, all is well on the blue team. The most alarming of this all is that our adversaries are aware, and they see this all playing out on the global stage, and it encourages them to take advantage with such chaos in the mix. We got China, Russia, Iran, North Korea. They're all watching and recognize the current weaknesses we have and what Democrat voters, and some of them, will try to vote for via Kamala Harris. But the message should be that the drama surrounding Joe Biden and Kamala Harris under the cloud of Democratic Party should not be confused as weakness. Let me just make that statement. Do not confuse all this chaos with weakness. We are still the United States of America. Do not mistake this drama for weakness. The U.S. Congress and the U.S. military and the American people are ready and resolved to act in our interests at any time. Do not equate this weakness on the American people. But keep in mind, Joe Biden didn't heroically pass the torch. It's not what was done here. He didn't just pass the torch. They ripped it out of his hand. And I noticed the squad has been relatively quiet. I'm really, really interested to figure out whether they support Kamala or not, truly. They know Kamala can run the show, but they're in this political pickle of DEI paralysis. They have to stick with it. Otherwise, they're hypocrites, as criticized and labeled by Black Lives Matter. Yeah, have you heard this? Black Lives Matter actually came out and criticized the Democratic Party for their anointing of Kamala Harris. Yes, yes, yes. You gotta love the chaos and mayhem of the Democratic Party right now. When you're this corrupt and ponderous, it's impossible to keep all these groups happy. And that's why the Democratic Party is being ripped apart, because they have all these groups. They created all this intersectionality, and it's just difficult to keep one faction happy and another happy and try to satisfy. It's impossible. When you have a strong, truthful base, you just simply don't have those kind of issues. So, you know what? Like I said in the last episode, I'll say it again because it's worth repeating, and it is the savage truth. It's really just great to be an American right now, and it's really great to be a Republican conservative right now. Intersectionality is biting them in their big blue butts. But yes, Black Lives Matter criticized the Democratic Party for not giving voters a say and called on the Democratic National Committee to host a virtual snap primary ahead of the party's convention in August. And here are the comments by Black Lives Matter as I quote them on X on their page. A 24-hour process of talking to party bosses is not democratic, nor is it a process Democrats should be proud of. We do not live in a dictatorship. Delegates are not oligarchs. Installing Kamala Harris and the Democratic nominee and an unknown vice president without any public voting process would make the modern Democratic Party a party of hypocrites. We call on the DNC to create a process that allows for public participation in the nominating process, not just a nomination by party delegates. End of quote. Now, you are never going to hear me say that I agree with Black Lives Matter, but let me just say it this way. I get it. That's as far as I will go. You'll never hear me say I agree with Black Lives Matter. Here's a new flash, though, BLM. The current Democratic Party was never Democratic. They were always hypocrites. They were always liars. They were always sneaky. After all, they endorsed you. Welcome, Black Lives Matter. You are now awake. Congratulations. Let's watch and see how this mess unfolds. It's been great having a front row seat. So I got to be honest with you all. I've debated and debated on how I, if I will actually watch the Olympics. I've debated about this. And I don't think I'm alone. I've heard a few people say they don't know because of, you know what, this opening ceremony. I did. I debated it for about a good 2 days. And I know you've all heard about the opening ceremony and the outrage it sparked with the drag queen's parody of The Last Supper. Now, you know, I am a Christian girl. I love my Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the center and the head of my life. Woo! Now, I like to watch the gymnastics, right? I'm a gymnastics and swimming and track segments of the Olympics, in the Summer Olympics. So it will be difficult for me to not tune in, but I just want to say this. Look what happens when you let progressives get a hold of something, right? This is what they do. Literally everything they touch, everything they do, they ruin, they wreck, they spoil, they destroy, they muck it up. They muck this all up. People all across the world were outraged and offended, rightfully so, struck with disgust, and were so very let down and disappointed on such a beautiful and memorable tradition. This is a global tradition. No matter how you feel about the hosting country, the one thing everyone always did was put their all and their very best into the opening ceremony, because it was just a way of bringing everyone together. But it also kind of showcased who the hosting country was, right? So they would do their very best to put forth their very best, the very best looking, the most talented, right? The most recognized. We didn't get that here in 2024. No surprise. That display clearly mocked one of the most sacred events in Christian history. It was not only deeply offensive, but also a glaring example of the erosion of respect for religious traditions and contemporary culture. This blatant disregard for the values and beliefs held by millions is both unacceptable and it was just outright embarrassing. It tarnished what should be a unifying global event. The Olympic Games, which are meant to celebrate human achievement and international unity, should not be marred by tasteless and disrespectful performances that alienate and insult a significant portion of the audience. And we keep seeing this over and over and over again, right? I mean, the Democrats do this when they refer to Republicans and conservative voters as deplorable. Like, let me just go ahead and make sure to offend half the voting population in the country, right? This incident stands as a stark reminder of the need to uphold respect and decency in public forums. It's a stark reminder of what we will continue to see and experience as long as we continue to have Marxists and socialists and communists making decisions. It's never creative. It's never clever. It's never imaginative. It's always distasteful. It's always ugly. And it's always offensive. And I am using absolute words here. I wasn't sure of how I would end this episode until I heard some people talking. And I assume they were Democrats, right? I was out in the grocery line. And they were talking about the cover-up of Joe Biden's cognition. They talked about this. They talked about his gaffes and his stumbles, but ignored it, right? They said that they ignored it. And I need to address this narrative to put it to rest, but I need to put some savage truth on it, okay? The narrative of a supposed cover-up regarding Joe Biden's cognitive and physical decline is a fabrication that fails to hold up under scrutiny. From his early days, early on in his campaign, it was evident. It was so very obvious to anyone actually paying attention that Biden exhibited signs of aging that could potentially impact his performance as president. You saw it. You knew it. I saw it. I knew it. And so did the Democrats. So did the Democrat media. And so did Democrat voters. okay? I think there's this wanting to pretend that, oh, I didn't know. Oh, you knew. This was not a secret, nor was it hidden from the American public. In fact, voters had ample opportunity to witness Biden's occasional gaffes and lapses firsthand. The mainstream media, in its coverage, often downplayed these incidents, but the reality was clear to anyone actually willing to see it. But despite this, a significant portion of the electorate chose to vote for Biden, driven more by their animosity towards Donald Trump and the Republican Party than by earnest belief in Biden's capabilities. The American people's choice, meaning Democrats, independents, and never Trumpers, because it wasn't mine, and a lot of you that are watching, it wasn't yours, was to turn a blind eye to Biden's evident decline until it could no longer be ignored, is a testament to the depth of their disdain for Trump and Republicans, half the country. This decision has led to a situation where presidents' frailties have become a source of national embarrassment. And here we are, undermining the very image of competence and strength that a leader should project. That is tradition for America. It's tradition. Strength and leadership is tradition and reflective of being an American. So here's the savage truth. It's not a matter of a cover-up. It's a reflection of the priorities and emotions that drove the 2020 election. The insistence on voting against Trump, regardless of the alternative, has brought us to a point where consequences are undeniable and inescapable. Now, as Biden's condition becomes more apparent and difficult to dismiss, those who once vehemently supported him must confront the reality that they chose to ignore. And to be even more savagely truthful in this moment, I gotta say this, the decision to vote Joe Biden into office, fully aware of his alleged corruption, driven by a delusional and irrational hatred for Donald Trump, has had dire consequences for our nation, for our future, for Americans. This choice has plunged our country into chaos. It has eroded the stability and the prosperity we once enjoyed. Our adversaries are emboldened by the perceived weakness in our leadership. Our enemies are circling. They're threatening our national security and global standing. The willingness, and that's what this is, folks, the willingness to jeopardize our way of life simply to oppose one man has led to economic turmoil. It has led to social unrest and a loss of confidence in our government's integrity because of a lack of leadership and character in this current government. This misguided decision has exposed the fragility of our democracy, our republic, and underscored the importance of prioritizing our nation's well-being over partisan hatred. And that's what this is. Make no mistake. This was all about partisan hatred and hate of one man. No, individual hatred. But Trump, ladies and gentlemen, took a bullet. Not shrapnel. He took a bullet and kept going forward, reminding us all of who we are and what we stand for and what we're actually made of. We can have it back. We just need to be truthful. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, be what? Be bold. Be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.